Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. And yes, he is 80s action star Colton Stone. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at two birds, one stone. You know, June keeps rolling for Nebraska and recruiting. Plenty of camps to hit. Friday Night Lights around the corner. We will tell you about the newest commit for Nebraska, Will Jackson, here in a moment. Let's set the table for you as we'll get caught up with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine. Love chatting with Mitch. Get his thoughts on some college baseball, some local talent that's headed to the major league ranks, or at least drafted high. We'll get Mitch's thoughts on some Nebraska football topics, like the quarterback battle, and just recruiting in general, how that's going and why it's going so well for Nebraska here in June, despite the fact that they don't have very many official visits left. They got guys coming in on their own dime, and they're able to add a commitment today. And there's a cryptic one out, and I don't know that there's a commitment. I checked with Greg Smith, and Matthew Anderson, offensive lineman from Louisiana, loves Nebraska, tweeted out blessed with a picture of him in red, but it's not a commitment. One man that did commit yesterday, Luke McCaffrey, talented quarterback from the First Family of Football in Denver. Luke McCaffrey will be with us around 5:25 tonight. Luke McCaffrey with us in hour two. We'll get caught up and talk some NFL, some golf, some Husker golf, and Major League Baseball / NFL. Not everyone's Bo Jackson. If you got to pick one, what do you pick? Jay Moore will join us, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, in hour two. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Court can tap house. Let's do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Travis Fisher, his position group, seen as thin, paper thin by some. Well, you got another corner commit. Let's tell you about what Nebraska's been able to land in Will Jackson out of Mesa, Arizona Community College. And what is the word on Will Jackson? Well, first and foremost, he picked four passes last year. He graduated in May. He'll be eligible this season. And here is what you have. Three guys who've seen action, have significant experience, and you've been underwhelmed by what you've seen. It's not all on the kids. Kids got to be coached up to be confident. They were not confident last year. They being the group of corners, DiCaprio Boodle, Eric Lee, Lamar Jackson. DiCaprio's had a really good spring. Eric Lee's talented. Lamar Jackson, all-world talent. Got to get that talent out. And I think Nebraska plans to do that. Well, what you have in Will Jackson, 6'3", about 210 pounds. Shy of 200 pounds, but same height as Lamar Jackson, just 10 pounds shy of 200. And what you have with Will Jackson, you have a guy that is ultra competitive, ultra aggressive, and a guy that loves to press. In the Chenander defense, you need to be on the wideouts and let all hell break loose with what type of blitz you're coming with. Get after the quarterback, pick six it, do your thing that way. You're going to want to play press and be physical with wide receivers. And that's what you have. You've got a guy that fits from an aggressive scheme standpoint, good at playing press coverage, has size, so there's some intimidation there. And when you look at Nebraska, in comparison to a year ago, playing 8 to 10 yards off, playing at two yards off or so is something that's important. When you look at Jackson, 4-5 guy, that's good. And he's a JUCO kid. What I like here about Nebraska, and be it grad transfer or JUCO, I said it yesterday, I mean it again, and it's kind of reinforced with the JUCO route versus a grad transfer route. You have guys that have been through a lot, because Jackson is a guy that got booted from Kentucky. Don't know why, but got booted from Kentucky. He has to either, you know what, or get off the pot with his football career. You get kicked out of Kentucky, you find your way to Mesa JUCO, and now you have a chance to play for Nebraska. It's really that simple. So you got guys that are locked in, theoretically, mentally, to come in here, compete, win a job, and then go on to the next level. Mike Hughes, case in point, dude that was booted out of North Carolina, super talented, showed up right before last season for Central Florida, and a first-round pick. A lot of talent there for Mike Hughes, but a lot of credit to Travis Fisher for not only getting the guy to Central Florida, but getting him in the right frame of mind and the right commitment level. Nebraska wants guys that are hungry. Nebraska wants guys that are uber talented. Nebraska trusts their ability to harness that, promote it, and get the most out of these guys. They know how to motivate, and that's key for Nebraska. A couple of other things I want to get into. When you look at the quarterback room right now, you need appropriate spacing. You need appropriate spacing. You've got a redshirt freshman, a true freshman, a guy that's transferring in Noah Vedral, and you have Bunch. With the commitment of Luke McCaffrey, McCaffrey's a guy that comes in 2019. Probably redshirts, but you have it spaced out. Even if you lose a dude at the quarterback spot, and the only reason we're throwing that out there is because it's what happens. Guys leave Oklahoma State, guys leave Alabama, guys leave LSU, guys leave Florida State, guys leave West Virginia, lots of guys leave Oklahoma, guys leave USC. You just do. I wonder if Nebraska, and this is a big leap, but follow me, I wonder if Nebraska is going to be such a place that quarterbacks like to go to, that they stay. Does Noah Vedral transfer if Scott Frost doesn't leave, or does he kind of stick it out as a backup, continuing to compete, continuing to learn, knowing how good Mackenzie Milton is? Do you like your situation? Do you like being a teammate? Yes, you want to play, but do you just kind of ride it out because of your commitment to the school / program / coach, like Brooke Behringer did? As good as he was, didn't win the job as a senior, still stayed, right? Didn't leave. Is Nebraska going to be an exception to the rule at a very prestigious spot in the quarterback room because guys really like Mario Verduzco, guys really love Scott Frost, and they just want to be a part of something bigger than themselves? I am not telling them to do that. I'm not suggesting you do that. If you want to go play and there's a better spot for you, and I already know one quarterback's transferred out of here in Patrick O'Brien, I get it. Totally get it. But is Nebraska going to be the exception to the rule when it comes to quarterback turnover moving forward? Because guys like Frost, like Verduzco, like this system, and have fun being with it. And if they don't win the job, so be it. Here's what else I think. I think Nebraska, we mentioned and heard a lot of times about processing, being able to run the offense. You heard about feet being important, being efficient, running the football as a quarterback. I wonder if the vetting process, beyond throwing and mechanics, I wonder about the personality assessment that is going on by Verduzco when he goes and visits. Part of that assessment between the kid's ears has to be, is this kid going to quit and leave when there's competition? Mm-hmm. How does he face and deal with it? A lot of the, has he jumped, are they going after guys that have jumped 14 different high schools? Or are you looking at kids that stick and stay, grind and compete, eventually earn their spot? And I think that's a big part of who and what they want at quarterback. It's not foolproof. It's not guaranteed. There's a risk. Mm-hmm. Anytime you bring a kid in that he could get homesick or want to leave or gets beat out, and that's just the climate of college football right now and college basketball. But I look at a guy like, and I know Vedral's a transfer, mm-hmm. but there are other situations to transfer into. But he wanted to be back home and he wanted to be part of Nebraska. I look at Adrian Martinez. We talked to this high school coach, and the insinuation is, look, if he doesn't win the job, and we'll talk with Mitch Sherman about his projections on ESPN.com, if Mario doesn't, if Adrian doesn't win the job, he'll know why, and he'll work hard to win the job. Because right. I don't think you're on cruise control once you win the job. You can't be jerking around with your quarterbacks and yanking them for a bad play. You can't do that.
Right.
But in the same sense, if the job's locked up and someone's truly better than you, you can still keep grinding and be there for your team if you're needed in case of emergency. I think that's part of the culture of being a good teammate that Nebraska's trying to instill, being there for your brother in the room. So with Nebraska here and with Adrian Martinez and with Tristan Jebbia, whoever loses the job, does one of them leave? I don't know. I don't know. I think college football climate tells you yes, but I don't think if Adrian doesn't win the job, the insinuation is that he's just going to work harder to try and win the job. You look at a guy like Luke McCaffrey, and I point to the McCaffrey family, and we'll get caught up with Luke here in about an hour. The recruiting process for him was something that his folks wanted him to be sure about. And then once you commit, you commit. He's from that type of family. Because his brother is a rare 4- or 5-star quarterback that hasn't won a job at Michigan yet. And he's not running home to mommy and daddy because he's not starting. In fact, the grad transfer came in Patterson. It's going to get the job. Mm-hmm. Now, he may be off to the NFL after a year, but there's an understanding as a player, when you may want to play, but you're not better than this dude in front of me. So what's the mindset? Take your ball and go home? Or is your mindset to buckle down and grind and try and get the job when it becomes open again? And it strikes me, based on the McCaffrey group, kind of their MO, that they're a family that once you commit and give your word to something, you stick with it, and you need to earn the starting spot versus having it given to you or the coddle treatment. Yeah, he wants best for his boys, but case in point, your high-profile quarterback that the world was after 2 years ago, McCaffrey, that's at Michigan, right. He's still there competing. He's the one high-profile, high recruit that's not bounced anywhere. And I think you're going to have a mindset of earning the job and competing for a job. You look at Luke McCaffrey. I know his dad's the coach now at Valor Christian, mm-hmm. but he didn't play quarterback. This is his first shot at playing quarterback. He played sparingly at quarterback, but he played about 4 other positions. Now his brother was throwing to him. Been a little hard to say, Dad, I'm going to the other school. I'm going to Cherry Creek to catch the football. No, I mean, different situation, but I think that's part of the dynamic you look at if you're Nebraska when you're recruiting some of these high profile spots. Is the kid gonna take his ball and go home? There's always a chance of that. It happens at a lot of places. Guys can contemplate it and consider it, mm-hmm. but ultimately you stick and stay by your program. I wonder if Nebraska can be the exception to the rule with that in college football.
I think if anyone were to leave, and only because of the offense that they're trying to set up at Nebraska and the way that they are now recruiting, and you're seeing them offer guys that are athletes and guys that are dual threats, I think the one person that would leave, and I feel bad for it, but I think it's Jebbia.
I think
he'd have to be. If he doesn't win the job for the fall, he may stick it out for the year.
But then he's out.
But if he doesn't get any playing time, I think he's done.
Sure.
And that's not a knock on him. He's a super talented quarterback.
He could have bounced after the coaching change. No, Tristan Jebbia has got a lot of love in that locker room, and he's proven a lot to the guys in that locker room. So people totally respect him and have him in high value. But I think that's the question. And the reason we're talking about this is because it's just going to keep coming year after year. Mario Verduzco is going to go evaluate quarterbacks. Mario Verduzco is going to bring in a quarterback in years they need to have five scholarship guys, ideally, in the quarterback room. And you're going to push each other. The guy's going to start. And you're going to either get better or go somewhere else. But I think the allure of getting better by Mario may keep some guys around where other programs, it's a conclusion. They're transferring if they don't win the job. Maybe I'm crazy. Mitch Sherman's on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mitch Sherman with us, ESPN.com and magazine. Mitch, how are you, sir?
I'm hot. I just came in from mowing the lawn. But
Did I force you to take a break, or were you complete?
No, I hustled and got it done for you. Got interrupted a couple times during the mow by phone calls from Stetson people. But that's all right. That's the job. So Stetson headed to North Carolina for the Super Regionals. So writing about the Hatters and Tennessee Tech, would be Cinderellas of Omaha in 2018. We'll see.
Last mowing question: rider or just a four wheel normal?
Yeah, it's part of my. It gets to be part of the exercise routine.
Okay.
Especially when it's like 90 degrees out or 93 during the mow. Not so much in the fall or the early spring, but you sweat off a couple pounds while mowing. So I walk behind, but it's propelled. So I'm not really doing a lot of work other than just walking around the yard in the heat. I had an opportunity to get one of those zero turn radius ones just last week. Actually, a neighbor was selling it, and I gave my wife the hard sell, and she told me there was no room for it in the garage.
If you park outside, there is. Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, I wanted to get your reaction to Luke McCaffrey. I know you do recruiting. You've covered it, and. Mm-hmm. What's your take on what Nebraska got and then the McCaffrey family as well? Because I know his brother's at Michigan, pretty high-profile guy. What do you think of this for Nebraska?
Pretty high-profile family, for sure, starting with the father, the patriarch, Ed. And then, the most well-known is, of course, Christian with the Carolina Panthers and should have been Heisman Trophy winner in 2016. He had my vote, and if Luke, with his athleticism, is anything like Christian in the way that he played, then he's going to spell a lot of trouble for the Big Ten in the Big Ten West. I don't know if Nebraska can expect that kind of talent out of a younger brother, but he certainly seems to have some similar characteristics, and I like when I read about him at the Valor Christian High School there in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. I like what I see that he's been able to do without having the opportunity yet to be the mainstay at quarterback. His school had, as people have probably seen, the senior who signed with Colorado this past season. So McCaffrey was splitting time, but then has also done a ton of work as a kick returner, as a safety, as a wide receiver. So he seems like a versatile guy. And the fact that he had offers from the likes of Ohio State and Michigan, I think, can make Nebraska feel pretty good about that commitment. And you know, I'd expect that he'll be a guy at quarterback that fits real well into what Scott Frost wants to do with the Nebraska offense.
No, he's a big-time get. He'll be with us in about an hour. Mitch Sherman's here on Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com, and Magazine. Mitch, what's your take on JUCO talent that's in the program and Nebraska's continuing to pursue? I got a grad transfer this week, and just today got another defensive back coming in from Mesa Community College. That's Will Jackson. So what's it say to you about Nebraska going the JUCO route?
Well, it means they're not settling for a 6 or 7 win season right away. Obviously, junior college talent you give up something to get something, and you give up the ability to develop guys over the long term, and you get immediate help, players that can come in and fill holes that you have right away. And you know, for Nebraska, I think it's a natural thing to want to do in these first couple of years of the Frost era, because you have primarily Ryan Held as a guy who knows the junior colleges as well as probably any coach in the Big Ten, and close to as well as any coach, any assistant coach in the country. And that's saying a lot, but he has a background in the JUCOs and has a history of recruiting them well. So I think with Held at the helm of your junior college recruiting, you're going to be able to identify talent and have a connection with junior college coaches and network with junior college coaches that brings guys to Nebraska who are, you know, have a high hit ratio. You're never going to hit 100% with junior college players, but you need to probably hit higher with the JUCO kids than you do overall in your entire base of recruiting, because you know, as I said, you're giving up that ability to develop those guys over the long term. So when used right, the junior colleges can help you tremendously. And it's something that Nebraska has had a history of doing, but did not do at all in the Mike Riley era. So not a ton of JUCO guys already in the program, very few if any. And then you have an influx now. I think you'll see those numbers be relatively high, definitely higher than what they've been in recent years, in these first couple of years with Frost in charge, and then taper down to the point where they take one or two guys a year over a longer period of time. You know, when he's 3-4 years in, I don't expect to have weeks like this where you're looking at multiple junior college players entering the program, you know, in a short period of time.
Mitch, you did a story, part of a story on quarterback races in college football right now, and you have races in Florida, at Ohio State, big-time race in Alabama, and mm-hmm. of course, Nebraska. And you wrote that the long term is Adrian Martinez. And do you have a gut feel right now? Yeah, I think you're right on with the long-term take on Adrian. But short term, do you have your arms around what you think Coach Frost wants in this first year from a win total? And I know he's probably not worried about the number, but that'll be the result that is attached to year one. Do you think he has a clue about where he's at the quarterback? And I mean that respectfully. Do you think there's a lean privately?
I don't think he's attaching a number to any of his goals, because you know, and I've heard Nebraska assistant coaches echo this sentiment that you don't set out to win 8 games, because that means you're not intent on, you know, you that means you're seeding for others, you know. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he wants to win them all. Realistically, I think he understands that's probably not going to happen in year one. But you don't go into any season, at least I don't think that Scott Frost will ever go into any season expecting to lose games. So if you set a number that's anything less than every game you play, then in some way you're expecting to lose games. So you put your goals in other areas, and I think there's plenty of areas to set goals that go, you know, that are different than you just win totals. At quarterback, you know, I think privately, they, this is just my opinion, they expect Martinez to be the guy down the road. You know, maybe McCaffrey will end up being the one who challenges him in the second half of his career or after year one or two. But I think that they feel they have something really valuable in Tristan Jebbia. And, you know, maybe it is all of the 2018 season. And you never know where it could go after that. You never know what kind of injuries are going to crop up. You never know what kind of personal situations are going to get are going to be involved. So you definitely want to leave the door open, I think, with both of those guys. But, I think right now, unless things change a ton or change – I don't want to say a ton. Unless things change even just a little bit in August, you might be more inclined to give the ball on game one to the more experienced guy. And that's Jebbia, you know, not a lot more experience, no more experience in the Frost offense, but he does have a year in college, at least the redshirt season. So it wouldn't surprise me either way. But, you know, if I had to pick, I'd say I think they're going to give it to Jebbia at the beginning and then, you know, give Martinez time, not rush him in. Don't put the pressure on him to be a true freshman starter from day one. I think at some point in 2018 he's going to start games, but I don't know if I feel confident in saying that it's against Akron.
Right. I mean I don't know when that's happened. I mean, Tommy Frazier was eased in at least to week six against Missouri. Go down to Columbia, have fun with that. But yeah, that's your first career start, and then Colorado is a week later.
Right. And Mackenzie Milton was similar with the way that they worked him in at UCF in 2016. So, you know, that's history says that both at Nebraska and with what Frost has done. So, you know, I think if I'm picking, I'd probably lean that direction.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com and magazine. All right, Mitch, you got the Super Regional set up. Who's heading to Omaha? Do you have a if you're circling in pencil, who finds their way? I've got the matchups here, too, but I'm pretty sure you already know them.
Yeah, I'm aware. I know the matchups. I say three SEC teams are going to make it to Omaha. And that's as far as I'll go on saying anything with certainty. There are three of the eight Super Regional matchups that pit SEC team against SEC team. So there's going to be an SEC team out of each of those three and no others, because those are the six that are left standing. You know, I think we're going to see Dave Van Horn back in downtown Omaha with Arkansas. I have a feeling that we're going to see Texas and second year coach, first time in the CWS. It would be David Pierce. The Longhorns have Tennessee Tech coming into Austin this weekend. I think we're going to see Cal State Fullerton, the other school that came of age under Augie Garrido. So in this year that Augie Garrido passed away, I think there's a good shot we're going to have Texas and Cal State Fullerton in Omaha, which would be quite an interesting storyline. I like Florida to get through against Auburn, although a tough task to beat the number one overall pick, Casey Mize, the right-handed pitcher, who was drafted number one last night. You know, I like Oregon State to knock out the Big Ten, I think. You know, you can just go right on down the line. I think that Stetson, North Carolina, Super Regional is going to be really interesting to watch. Stetson is a team that has won more games consecutively right now, has a longer winning streak than any team in the country, and that started with a win back in April over Florida State. So they're not going to be scared of that ACC logo on the Tar Heels uniform. So it's interesting how the Super Regionals worked out with a lot of underdog programs. Duke going to Texas Tech is an interesting one for sure. And then the three that pit SEC foes against each other. So should be a good weekend of baseball on tap.
Absolutely. Mitch, we'll be following you. Thanks for the update and thanks for the time today, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Mitch Sherman at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com and magazine. A quick timeout. Gronk, Brady, and Belichick. Wait to hear what they say.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, I called you the Pride of Chicago, but you're wearing all your Arizona State gear. You're going to get disowned, son. Colton Stone, 80s action star. I want to tell you about our friends from AgriGold. You've seen that sign in the soybean field. It's your neighbor's field. And you know what? That sign says AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans is no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Colton, how much do you want to hear about Philadelphia, Trump, and the disinvite? That's a Seinfeld episode, getting disinvited.
Oh. I don't, like, dis. Well,
by now, is it get me a handgun and a bottle of scotch if it's brought up?
I don't know if it's that bad, but but then, I mean, they say they're disinvited, but they weren't showing up anyways.
No.
So,
but
like,
you're not going to come see me. You can't come.
Right, exactly.
Is what's going on.
I don't know. I know that they said they'll make it up to their fans and hold their own thing in Philadelphia.
More horse punching?
Probably. Who knows? It's
that is one fan base, my man, I don't let in anywhere. Ever. Ever.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I know the Eagles will. They still want to hold some event, too. Mm. So, I don't think they're too upset about it, to be honest.
Well, J.R. Smith has comments on LeBron. That's a circus today, media day. So we have some thoughts on J.R. Smith from J.R. Smith. Also coming up, LeBron asked about the White House and Trump. We may or may not get into that. Jay Moore is coming up. I want his take from an NFL perspective on what happened in D.C. today with the world champs. We will talk some golf. Jay Moore got to hang out, or actually, Larry the Cable Guy got to hang out with Jay Moore yesterday, and we'll get caught up with Jay's golf adventure. Don't forget, in a little more than a half hour, Luke McCaffrey, 2019 quarterback, verbal commit from the First Family of Football in Denver. Luke McCaffrey will be with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was wearing a visor today. Shut your eyes. Don't drive. Well, and imagine Belichick in the hooded, cut-off sleeve, golf-type rain gear. You know, the zip-up that you wear
that is
waterproof.
Yeah.
Just in case someone wants to get Gatorade on him early for winning another title. Yeah, he's wearing the windbreaker, the visor. And it was, hey, how are you and Tom doing? It's all touchy-feely. And Belichick looked like he wanted to punch the guy again.
I feel like you and Tom are kind of in a good place right now, and a good understanding of where each other sits.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
Does it concern you at all that he chose to stay away from OTAs this year?
He's done that before.
The whole time?
Yeah, if you go back a few years, there was times when he wasn't. I mean, look, again, it's a voluntary program, so that's what it is. You have to ask him about it.
Really? There were times Tom Brady stayed away from OTAs. Like when? We'll have to research that. Not that I care, but
I'm sure he showed up late before.
Sure, of course. He's getting
his hair done. I think everyone has. Or when you win a title, I don't think they really think you're going to be off your game, right? Mm. I don't know.
No, I mean, especially Brady, because there's always some chip. But that triangle of Belichick, Brady, Belichick, Brady, and Gronk. That'll be interesting. Robert Kraft turned 77 today. Speaking of Gronk, he was in full spring break mode today. Got his hair aerodynamic. I mean, it looks a little Tim Bob Kitzmiller-ish. High and tight. Very, very short. He looked, don't hate me here, he looked good. I mean, he looked like he was put together and in shape, and I'm fairly certain Gronk cheated off people in school to get through school every time he talks, and he's just got this blank stare in his eye. I'm not saying you, Timbo.
I didn't.
But, I mean, Gronk just looks out of it. He's always happy, smiling. Here's Gronky Kong.
I was training on my own. Felt like that was the best thing for me, and I wanted to take care of my body, take care of myself, and see where I was at before I came out here. So went good. I think it was a good decision.
Rob, was there a point this offseason you thought you might retire?
I mean, I was just seeing where I was at first. I mean, obviously after long seasons, they're hauling seasons, long hauling seasons, and that definitely was in the mind, but I had to do what I had to do, and I felt where I felt good enough, get my body prepared, get my body right again, see where my body was at, see where my mind was at, and I'm glad to be back out here. I feel like I definitely made the right decision coming back out.
So he got the retirement question. So pretty much, yeah, I thought about it. Gronk is awesome and unstoppable, but homeboy's been injured a lot, and he hit all of his contract benchmark, so he got paid last year, but it was really a make or break because they've been to a Super Bowl or two without him. He's also helped them get there. I mean, he's phenomenal. I do like Gronk. I know I make fun of him sometimes, but the guy's pretty big time. And he's a guy that is back. Now, he's worked out on his own, which means he did the TB12 program. That was the source of ire, allegedly, between Belichick and Tom and the dude on the sideline that's no longer on the sideline. I don't know if it's a club, if it's cultish, if there's a blood, sacrifice that needs to be. It's just kind of weird. And if you talk to some people that have been around the Patriots, they think it's a little weird. But everyone looks like they're in pretty good shape. Last thought here on Gronk. Contract talk, is it ongoing? Is it getting renewed? What's going on with your contract, Gronk?
Are you on good terms with the team right now with Bill Belichick?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you redoing your contract?
I don't know. Trying to.
You want to get something done before the season?
Who won it?
Gronk, do you want more money? Do you want guaranteed money? Yes.
Who wouldn't?
Gronk, how many plates in your body do you have? How many times have you been knocked out? How many times you take a spear shot to the ribs and still carry dudes for 14 more yards? That was such a nervous, who wouldn't want to do their contract? We'll see. He's at the point, and he came out of Arizona the same year Sue came out. Mm-hmm. So he's close to 30, maybe 31, late 20s at best,
yeah,
for Gronk.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, because he came out when he's 20, 21, so he's pushing 30. He's got a lot of miles on him. He's got a lot of scars. He's been to the doctors a lot because of said surgeries, and he's always bounced back. He's always come back. I mean, we're talking wrists, we're talking concussions.
He's been hurt a lot more than you think.
Well, and he's just taken shots. He is, but I don't look at him as soft, right? I just think if you bust your bones, it's just kind of, that's bad luck with that. So it'll be interesting to see. And I don't see him holding out ever. They'll threaten to trade him to Cleveland. That's why he was contemplating retirement or not. Jay Moore's on the way. Luke McCaffrey coming up shortly. Great to be with you on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Now, Tim Bob just stopped by. Tim Bob Kitzmiller, salesman. Love him. Does some football with me on Fridays during the fall. And he's an Oklahoman. Good dude. Loves him some football. Played him some football. Dwight Clark passing away. ALS. Very, very sad. Remember the catch? Some of you have seen the highlights. A lot of attention on the 81-49ers season last night and the catch in memory of Dwight Clark passing away. 61. He's way, 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 way too young. And I remember being very, very young, seeing that game where Joe Montana became Joe Montana. He's at Candlestick. He's rolling right. Run pass option. More so just the pass option. He's pump faking, drifting towards the sideline. Tries to throw it away. And here comes Dwight Clark with his Superman cape to swipe in and swoop in and catch it. For the winner, where the Niner dynasty started. And even if you didn't like the Niners, you watched the Niners because of their Nebraska backfield a few years later with Craig and Rathman and Jamie Williams, Doug DeBose. It's phenomenal. It was fun watching the Niners do their thing. And then you got the questions. Well, Rathman and Craig catch the ball in the NFL. Why didn't Nebraska throw to the running backs? That was a narrative in the 80s. Forgive me. But just sadness with Dwight Clark and him passing away. But a really cool tribute on the NFL Network last night. Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang can take care of you. Your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. Eco-friendly, 100% sustainable, 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds. That'll save you money and make mama happy because they are beautiful. They are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Go visit Rick this week and check out Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point, Pavilion Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Big game tonight. The Lincoln A's are in action. Doubleheader as they try for seven consecutive. Wow. I have just jinxed them.
Yeah.
But they are trying for seven in a row. We will have a conversation with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, on some JUCO talent Nebraska's bringing in. We'll get his take on recruiting. We'll get Jay's take on what former Huskers, the best at golf. We'll get Jay's take on a White House disinvite. Jay being an NFL guy for a number of years. And you got an option right now if you're an Oklahoma quarterback to go play pro baseball or to be a quarterback, and Kyler Murray is going to stay and play quarterback for Oklahoma. Jay Moore was a guy who could play baseball, did play baseball at a high level, loved football. Mm-hmm. So we'll get his take on that. And then don't forget Luke McCaffrey, newest commit for Nebraska football for 2019. Not newest anymore. You had a defensive back earlier today we covered in the first segment. But Luke McCaffrey will join us in 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes, here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And can find and follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone. For Colton at @Schmidt_radio. For all your recruiting and Husker needs at Hail Varsity. Quick timeout. Hour two on the way. Jay Moore next. And then Luke McCaffrey. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at @Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Back into it at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, what do you know?
Not too much. Just glad to get on the horn with you guys, chop it up a little bit, and see what's going on.
Rumor has it you need an inflatable raft for your home.
Almost, yeah. We're got a little bit of some plumbing issues at the Moore residence. We'll hopefully get it fixed here soon. Not a major deal, but it's when you go without water for about 12 hours, that's a bit of a struggle. We had the conversations like, would you rather be without water or electricity? And we're like, oh, definitely, you know, you definitely do not want to go without electricity in the summer.
No, you will, that's the last you will thing. Melt.
You can Right, you can go buy water and bring it to your house, and you know it's a bit of a struggle for toilet wise. you got to be efficient how you use the restroom, but you can always go buy water to bring in the house. You can't bring in air conditioning.
So you know you're gonna knock on the neighbor's door with a Hail Varsity under your arm. Dude, can I use your bathroom?
Right. Yeah, it's reminiscent of Christmas Vacation, you know?
Yes.
Cousin Eddie's out, you know, it's full. Uh-huh. I use yours.
Yeah. Jay, go to the next house. We're closed. Yep. Jay Moore's mm-hmm. with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, want to get your take on Nebraska's recruiting efforts. Luke McCaffrey verbaling yesterday, and he'll be on with us after we get done chatting with you. A couple more commits today. Nebraska not messing around. It's been a really, really good June, and they're going JUCO or grad transfer. Both are options, and you know there's been five JUCO kids from this past signing day. What's your thought on that route, going JUCO? It can really work, and it has worked for Nebraska in the past.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I know previous staffs, you know, and I know people in academics, they don't – it gets tough because, you know, you're trying to see, you know, how the kid's done in school previously, whether in high school or even the JUCO route. But, you know, not necessarily. It's always school. Sometimes it's just, you know, got to look at a different route. And kids can get their classwork cleaned up pretty easily in JUCO. But, there's some immediate needs this team has, you know, needs to fill. I mean, you heard Coach Frost and everyone else when they first came in, like, you know, how low the numbers were in at quarterback or at cornerback in the secondary. Wide receivers' numbers weren't very good. But you have to address immediate needs. And if you can get better bringing a kid in from JUCO or a graduate transfer, I mean, why the hell not? I mean, I get the whole you know, the Joe Burrow type of deal where, you know, your quarterback room is already pretty solid. And it's going to get a little better with McCaffrey coming in here in a year and a half. But, you know, if there's a kid out there and you can get him, he can make your football team immediately better when he set foot on campus. You got to take him, especially if there's a need. And secondary, there's a need. You know, I think D line, there's a need. O line is now a need with when you lose a guy like Decker. So there's always places to get better at, and it's. I have zero issue with it. If you can step on foot day one in campus and make you a much better football team, you do what you got to do to get better.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Blackshirt at JMoore44, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer. Jay, a thought here on a couple of JUCO guys that you played with that I thought were pretty impactful. One was Ola Dugunduro at defensive tackle. I thought he was big time pub and hype as he should have gotten, as solid as he was, and then also DeMario Williams. What do you remember about both those guys?
Yeah, I mean, DeMario was, you know, we came in on the same recruiting class in 02. So I was only around DeMario for 2 years, but, you know, DeMario was one of those guys where he was just a football player, you know, was always, you know, undersized, but I tell you what, he had the burst and he had the ability to go get the ball. I mean, if DeMario wasn't, everyone will tell you he wasn't the most cerebral football player, but he was one of those guys that, you know, see ball, go get ball. Mm-hmm. He's telling you, give him one roll and he would do it. And the guy had the speed and athleticism to make up for his mistakes. So he's a great one. I mean, Ola was good. People don't understand how good he was. I mean, if I could get film of practices, what he used to do to Matt Slauson in practices, and, you know, Matt Slauson, you know, it's had a hell of an NFL career. I mean, it's crazy the stuff he would do to that guy. And he probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserved, and understandably so, but, you know, he was a hell of a football player, and he came from a good JUCO program. Barry Cryer came from a good JUCO program. I look at a guy like Steve Octavian, mm-hmm. great JUCO football player. I mean, I was around a lot of good football players that came from the JUCO route. And Nebraska's made hay get guys that come from the JUCO route. It's just kind of, you know, they kind of turned away from it here in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. But those were some great, great JUCO guys. Like I said, man, it's great when you have guys that can come in day one who are ready physically. Because you get some of those guys that play in that Jayhawk League down in the Kansas area, or some guys down, you know, out in the West Coast. Man, those JUCOs are no joke. I mean, they're loaded with D1 talent, so they can step on the practice field and on the game field day one and make some and do some work. So it's been around a lot of great ones, and hopefully they keep continuing to tap into that network.
Your roomie, pretty good JUCO player too, Zach Taylor, now with the Rams.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm going for
DC. Yeah, exactly. Before we get into some NFL thoughts and some Major League Baseball stuff, Larry the Cable Guy, a buddy of yours, had his golf outing, his charity fundraiser the last couple of days. I don't know if you swung the clubs in it or not. If so, tell me how it went. If you didn't, I need a Scott Frost golf story from you.
yeah, I did. I did participate. I was able to attend his gala on Sunday evening. I had the wife had a previous planned work deal, but I did participate, and I was, you know, I was a quote unquote celebrity there. So I was with a group. They're great folks. We had fun, made a lot of birdies, had a few drinks. Had a lot of fun, made some good connections, and saw Scott out there. Didn't really get a chance to say hi. He kind of came in there late and left right away because he had a recruiting time. So, and Scott can swing it, but Larry or Dan, he does a hell of a job for this community and what kind of footprint he's able to leave with his success. He works his tail off to make this golf course, this golf tournament great. I mean, you had Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. REO Speedwagon was out there playing. They're playing golf. They weren't playing music, but they took part. Partook in it. Mark Rippon, you know, all sorts of Neil Smith, tons of former Huskers. You know, myself and Jay Foreman and Jason Peter and Joel Mekavica and the Kelsey brothers, and the list goes on and on about a lot of great Nebraska football players to come back and support it, because Dan's such a great guy and cares so much, not only for state of Nebraska, but also for building something, using his success to benefit others. And you're always on board to support anything like that. So it was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun to be able to help Dan out and hit around a little bit.
I'm going to ask you to take yourself out of the equation. You're modest, but you're really, really good at swinging the club. Some of us still owes you a bet. Who's the best ex-Husker golfer?
Barrett was there. He doesn't obviously get a chance to play as much as he wants to, but I mean, Barrett can still swing it. I played with him, and he's got some really good scores before. I mean, Barrett can shoot, in the 70s, no problem. Stu Radley, he's getting back into golf. He can swing it a little bit. I know I'm missing people. I mean, Danny Woodhead took part in this event, and Danny loves golf. Danny might love golf more than I do. And Danny's a low single digit handicap player. He can shoot in the 70s too. And, he's really good. I'm trying to think who else. There's a few guys. I mean, Jay Foreman and Jason Peter, I think, they play damn near every day, and both of them can get around the golf courses as well. So there's a lot of us that just love the game because it still keeps you competitive, keeps you something that, you keep feeding that dog that's in you a little bit, that likes to get to work a little bit and chase something and grind on something for a little bit. So there's a lot of guys that can play and love to play every day.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker NFLer at Jay Moore 44. Jay, have you ever been disinvited to something?
I'm sure I have. I can't think of it recently, but not after I won a Super Bowl.
Not the White House. What's your take on that, man? I mean, the story, and Trump disinvites Philly, and the report was that only 10 players were going to show up. Most of the African American players were not going to attend, and Trump just called it off. And does it bother you? Do you care? Are you over this? What's your reaction? I wanted to get your take on it because you've been in the locker room. You've had sit downs and conversations with guys with different backgrounds than you that have seen life differently than you.
Yeah, Trump's a stubborn SOB, that's for sure. And, he doesn't want to be disrespected. And I know he has a stance on it. And I know the players don't want to be disrespected. And they think their issues are very important as well. Trump's viewing it as, respect for the country, the flag, and so forth. But, the players in the locker room, athletes don't want to be viewed just as a really good athlete, a really good football player, a really good basketball player, a really good baseball player, whatever it is. They want to be able to do more. They feel like, guys who are very successful make a lot of money playing a sport, especially in football and NFL. They feel like they have the platform to make a difference in other people's lives and in America besides just playing football. I get that. I understand that. And that's what they're trying to do. We have the greatest platform right now and to make a difference. And they're going to try to take a stand. And they can do that. And that's great. But it's just unfortunate that you just can't come together. You're celebrating a world championship, a Super Bowl. Celebrate that. And then you can, try to make your mark somewhere else. But it is getting old. I tell you what, it's getting very old. But I get it from both sides again. But I think, as athletes, they don't want to be viewed as just a football player. They want to make a mark somewhere else, whether it's foundation or whether it's doing something like this and boycotting a trip to the White House. And, you know, it is what it is. I think this story will keep continuing to go on and on long after we're gone. But it definitely is getting old. It's kind of becoming like a broken record.
Jay Moore's with us. Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay, you've got Kyler Murray, Oklahoma quarterback, heir apparent to Baker Mayfield, drafted 9th overall by the Oakland A's. Kind of a surprise he went that high, but he has had limited reps, but he's done well for the Sooners. Would you risk your baseball career quarterbacking this year for Oklahoma? Trade spots with Kyler Murray.
No. I'm out. I'm gone. See you, Norman. Hello, Oakland. I'm out. Or wherever you're going, wherever you're sending me for minor league ball or whatever the story is, I'm out. You can't turn down that money. I mean, I think you're crazy. So I get the he's been a part of the team and you're part of building something. Man, that's millions and millions of dollars that you're risking. I know he probably has a good if he's smart, he probably has a good disability policy with him to protect everything with football. But I obviously love playing baseball too, and I look at it as well. You can play baseball a hell of a lot longer than you can play football, and you can capitalize on this. Obviously he deserves it, but it's just kind of like saying, I'm going to hit, you know, I just won the lottery, but hey, wait 6 months to give me my money to see if I'm going to make it through this or not, you know? So it's just like, why risk it? But, yeah, I'm out.
Jay Moore.
My bags are packed.
Okay, so put yourself in his spot. Say, because you played and were a pretty good baseball player, and I know you just said you'd be out, but go back, dare I say, 20 years. Well, that'd put you as a teenager. Go back 15 years before your freshman year in Nebraska. Would you have still mm-hmm. played ball at Nebraska and tried to do summer baseball, knowing what you know now? Or would you have checked out and gone minor league route?
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, I love baseball. I wish I could have had shoulder issues. I would have continued to play it all through high school. But mm-hmm. I had to quit after my freshman year because my right shoulder was so bad that I could barely move it at the end of baseball season. Mm-hmm. I think it also depends. You know, you get a lot of high school kids that get drafted early. I mean, look at the, you know, what's this, the Harrison that was committed here, but, you know, mm-hmm. got drafted baseball-wise. And I look at Bubba Starling. I mean, you cannot fault them. You know, I think I would have to, you have to go. I think you just have to do it because there's the opportunity now to take that up and take the opportunity. And football is a risk. And I know, people, you know, you can go the Chris Wanky route or the quarterback that was at Oklahoma State, you know, where
Fields, right?
Him too, but Brandon Weeden,
yeah,
he did the same thing.
Gotcha.
Where, you know, you try it out, doesn't work, then you go back to football. And that's doable when you're a quarterback, like Bubba is mm-hmm. or was. But I tell you what, it's really hard to turn down that money if you're taking high enough. I just nowadays, I mean, you don't the opportunity doesn't come around every day, and it's not guaranteed that you can always go back to college. If it's presented, I think sometimes you just got to go with it, even if you do want to play college football. But I think you got to rock and roll with that excellent opportunity that's presented to you, and then to make millions and millions of dollars playing baseball, which is a hell of a way to live your life.
Jay Moore, still swinging it, at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Follow him. Jay Bird, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few.
Yep, got it. Thanks, buddy.
Love talking to Jay Moore. Good stuff. Well, newest commit for Nebraska out of Colorado, 2019 quarterback commit, Luke McCaffrey. Up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, part of the 2019 class, quarterback commit, Luke McCaffrey with us. Luke, thanks for taking the time. How's your day been?
No problem. It's going well. Good day to be a Husker.
Yeah, you know what? Nebraska fans really excited. You growing up in Colorado. How much did you know about Nebraska before Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco entered the picture? Let's start there with the Nebraska program, its history. What's your level of knowledge on it?
Yeah, just growing up near Nebraska, I really just looked up all the teams back in the early 2000s, even looking back to the 90s. I wasn't born yet, but there's still some highlight tapes out there. And just being so close, it's hard to not feel the presence of that historic program.
Luke McCaffrey, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So tell me about your recruiting process. Was it enjoyable for you? Was it stressful? Was there a lot of emotion attached? Did you struggle much with this, or was it pretty much a piece of cake? What door do you fall into with that?
It wasn't too bad. I really just wanted to narrow it down to the few schools I know I'd really be interested in and go ahead and visit those. And when I visited Nebraska, I really just felt a connection to it, and my parents encouraged me to just be completely confident in that decision and test out a few other schools. And after I did that, I really just knew that Nebraska was the choice, so I pulled the trigger.
Luke, when did Nebraska come on the radar for you?
A few weeks before I visited. I think I'd been talking to them a little bit, and then they decided to offer, which really boosted it up a lot.
What made you interested in Nebraska? Was it Coach Frost coming to Lincoln?
There's a lot. I mean, obviously, it's a historic program in college football, and it'd be a dream to play for them. And when Frost got there, it felt like that the timing's right. And he's running a system that I think I really fit into, and it was really fun to watch when he was out at UCF.
Luke McCaffrey's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, 2019 commit for Nebraska at quarterback. Tell me a little bit about your program at Valor Christian. What's the culture like? If someone were to walk in and observe the team before practice or even after practice, what would they see?
I think we have a good culture here. My dad just took over the head coaching job, and it's really just emphasizing earning whatever you get. We've had some success in the past, but right now we're really trying to earn what we get and just come out here every day and just bust out.
What's that like for you, having dad wearing the headset?
It's good, especially for my senior year. He coached me throughout Little League, and past 3 years he really wanted us to kind of make our own thing. But now that it's my senior year and I'm a little bit more settled in, it's going to be really special.
Luke McCaffrey is joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, how many sports have you played growing up?
I played just about any you can think of. In high school, I played four. So I played football, basketball, lacrosse, and I ran track.
Okay, what'd you do in track?
My main event was a 400.
Okay. So let's go back to your visit to Nebraska. I know the Huskers extended an offer, and then you and your family came out. Who did you meet with first? Was it Coach Mario? Was it Coach Frost? What was your first impression from a coaching staff standpoint?
So I went in for a practice, my dad and I, and it was really cool just being able to watch them do their thing in their own environment and just feel welcomed. And then I had a really long meeting with Coach Verduzco about how the program works and how they install plays and just how he wants a quarterback to be.
Give us a little more on that conversation if you can. How long was the meeting, and what was the back and forth like?
It was a couple of hours at least. And it was special. I really felt a connection with him, and I can't wait to get working with him, because I think the way he looks at the game and how he thinks of the quarterback position is really something special.
What were your conversations like with Coach Frost?
They were good. They were a little more general, just about the program and how that works and about the system, but they were great.
With this offensive style, and it's been well documented, the success at Central Florida, your skill set, Luke, tell me how it fits into this offense and where you think you can thrive.
They're definitely looking for a guy that can throw and run and make some plays happen, and I think that's something I want, but more importantly, just looking for a hard-working leader. And I think that's something I'd love to step into and embrace.
What do you think you do best when it comes to throwing? What do you think you do best when it comes to running?
I'd probably just say it's a little bit of the versatility. I think I make smart decisions in the pass game, which can help, and and can help extend plays with my feet, which really helps there.
You've kind of played everywhere, haven't you? I mean, this is going to be your senior year. The quarterback spot will be yours. That said, you've played wideout, you played safety, you played quarter, you played running back, wideout, kick returner, punt returner. Did you enjoy being all over the field?
Yeah, it was awesome, especially the first few years I got to play with my brother, and he really helped show me how to lead and just how to play the sport, and it was really encouraging just being able to be on the field at the same time with him.
Well, you mentioned your brother and Dylan, big-time quarterback that's over at Michigan. And take me through your family a little bit, your brothers, just the connection you have with them, and what was it like playing hoops against one another in the backyard?
It was great. I really learned everything I know from them, and just them having it firsthand is a great advantage, I think. And I mean, we got competitive. We had some scraps in the yard, but we know that in the end, we're each other's biggest fans, and no matter where we are, we'll always root for each other.
Was it hard to not play quarterback in high school and have to wait, or did you care because you were playing other spots?
Yeah, I mean, obviously anybody wants to be able to play, but I think my brother playing really encouraged me to just have fun and really enjoy the game.
What's the best advice you've gotten from one of your siblings or your dad when it comes to football?
To just enjoy it and embrace the moment. I mean, everybody has a certain time limit on their career, and you never know when that's going to end. So really just enjoy every single moment and play your heart out.
A few minutes here. Luke McCaffrey with us, Hail Varsity Radio, kind enough to join us and talk about his commitment to Nebraska. I want to go back to some of the other schools that you were considering. Where are some of the other places you visited?
So I visited Nebraska and then decided to take a visit to North Carolina and Virginia just this past year. Those are probably the three I narrowed it down to, but I thought Nebraska in the end, it just felt right.
And with Mario, when he talked to you about quarterbacking, because that's been his life. I mean, mm-hmm. he's spent a lot of time at a lot of places. What did he like about what he's seen from you, because he saw you in person, right, and he's seen film. What did he like about you, and what are some areas that need to grow this senior year and beyond?
He really just, I think, saw somebody that is willing to buy into a system and buy into a program and really just take it head over hands and just do everything he can. I'm hoping that's what he saw, and just improve some technique things and some eyes things, just looking to where I need to think and look on the field. But overall, just somebody that can really grow in his program.
Well, and Nebraska fans extremely excited to have Luke McCaffrey. He's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. There's a lot of Colorado kids on the roster. That's not new historically for Nebraska, but are you close with some of the guys on the team from the state of Colorado?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. That was really encouraging when I visited. I know I was good friends with JoJo Doman growing up. My mom's good friends with the Stoles, and Eric Lee went to my high school. And along with that, Tate Wilderman really helped me out in the recruiting process as well. He just got out there a few days ago, and that was really encouraging.
What'd Tate have to say? I mean, he's kind of getting acclimated now, but he'd been through this. He signed with this staff. What were his words to you?
He was encouraging, and then he just told me kind of what it's like, especially with him having some buddies and some guys who graduated early. He kind of knows what's going to go on and what's going to happen, and it was good to just be able to hear that firsthand from him.
Who do you like at quarterback in the NFL?
I really look at a few guys. I think, just throwing it back a little bit, Steve Young, and then for now, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Mariota, those type of guys.
Yeah, that's a good list. That's a really good list. Luke, best to you. Thanks for a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity. Take care and enjoy your summer.
Thank you. It'll be great.
That is Luke McCaffrey. Good to get caught up with him. Committed yesterday, part of 2019, and a tremendous athlete. Nice to hear from him about what stuck out. 2-hour meeting with Mario Verduzco. He's got a lot of friends on this team from Colorado. JoJo Doman and him and his families are close. Tate Wildeman, obviously, good Colorado flavor on this roster for Nebraska. And you just look at the upside and you look at the unselfishness from his standpoint of, yeah, he wants to play quarterback. He played quarterback sparingly last year. He's waited. He's waited behind his brother. He's waited behind another four-star dude that's at Colorado. But he found other ways to make it happen at safety and at corner and at wideout. And just some of the things that he can do. I mean, to remind you of Christian with how he runs. His brother that's at Carolina right now. The shiftiness, the explosiveness, the ability to outrun some angles. And he's tough. And what I liked best about him is how he's composed. And he didn't have a lot of breakdowns on film when guys got into the backfield. But when he was harassed or flushed, he's able to move and run on and throw on the run at a high level. Again, it's a highlight tape, but it's impressive. Good family, really good family to come from. Tremendous football family, great work ethic. And he's excited to come in and compete for Nebraska. We'll have that posted at HaleVarsity.com. Also with the ESPN Lincoln and some select portions of it. We'll get tweeted out here on Hale Varsity and on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. And go back and take us with on the podcast if you missed any part of that. So good stuff from Luke McCaffrey. HaleVarsity.com. is where the podcast will be loaded up to, iTunes as well, and of course ESPNLincoln.com. We'll get into some NBA thoughts on LeBron, thoughts from LeBron. J.R. Smith to the rescue. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
I was going to play what LeBron had to say today about the White House and Philly. We may table that because you're probably sick of it. And I want to get into fan ejections. This is wonderful. Thank you, 11warriors.com, for this information. 2017, a football season you want to forget. But the story here talks about football and alcohol being a dangerous combination, and the Big Ten was no exception. Let's be straight. Nebraska football in 2017, paired with alcohol, was a very, very dangerous combination.
And sad.
Right. Colton, how many ejections do you think took place?
At a Husker game?
At a Husker game. Home game, 7. Quickly, son.
22.
There's 25 arrests.
Wow.
141 ejections.
Ooh. I'm a little off.
That's okay. But Wisconsin was there to save you. 137 arrests, 167 ejections. That leads the way on Wisconsin.
How many were at the Big Ten championship game?
I don't know. But here's what you got. Okay? You have plenty of details. Ejections and other incidents from 2017 from each of the 11 universities who provided data. Maybe for fun tomorrow, we'll look back at the 2016 or the 2014 report. So Ohio State had 39 alcohol-related arrests. And you had 2 open containers for the Penn State game. I look at Nebraska here. And what's good is it's detailed information, Colton. It's very detailed information. The total of 141 ejections from or slash denials, which means you try to get in and it's not like you're going into the wrong gate. You try and crawl through the window. So that's 141 ejections and denials in 2017, with the highest totals coming against Wisconsin. 39 of the 141. And the opener, September 2nd against Arkansas State, 34. Both mid-afternoon games. 25 ejections and denials were reported for the Cornhuskers' October 14th night beating by Ohio State. So you had 25 citations issued at home games, 13 being issued the opener, 5 issued in the Wisconsin and Ohio State game. That's a low number.
Yeah.
You get beat 56-14 or you get beat 38-17 and just smoked if you get Nebraska'd. I'm glad those numbers aren't higher.
I think they
But I thought those numbers would have been, should have been, could have been higher.
I think they left on their own accord. I don't think they needed any being poked or prodded. That Arkansas State one surprises me, but then again, maybe people just didn't want to watch how it was going to end, so they took it upon themselves to get thrown out.
Well, those numbers, 141 right behind Wisconsin, just in front of Michigan. You know what, man? When it gets bad, and it's been bad for a while,
mm-hmm.
I'm not condoning or judging. I'm just telling you that Nebraska fans, they go old school, and if the team's getting blasted and annihilated, they're going to the parking lot, they're going to the bar, or they're staying out and tailgating, and they're going to drown their sorrows. They're going to say, forget about it. People were probably trying to get kicked out on purpose last year. Because if you're removed forcibly because of being loud and obnoxious and you're blasted, you can't say you really quit on or ditched the team. It was out of my hands.
Respectable discharge.
From the student section.
What is there details about how many students?
No, I wish I had that. That'd be great. You tell me, how many of your drunk buddies got launched?
I don't want to say.
You and Danny were doing the broadcasts a lot of times.
Yeah, so
you stayed away.
I didn't go to
this year.
Yeah, I didn't go to a lot of games this year. The previous 2 years, I didn't see. Usually, what happens is you go to those games when it's really hot outside. And you know people have been drinking, and then they're just dropping
they
like flies.
They are done.
So
it's blackout time at halftime.
Like I said, they usually leave on their own accord. But I haven't seen too many
then
people.
Then the poor Red Cross folks have to come and see if you're still alive and then drag you out.
I think only...
All because you can't handle your booze.
I think only once or twice did I see someone get like forcibly removed from the student section. And
what were they doing?
I think it was marijuana related.
Okay.
So,
you think or you know?
I allegedly know. And it was like, I guess they were, I put in air quotes, smart about it. They were way up in the student section. Yeah. But, you know, as the way the stadium works, everything kind of trickles down towards the field. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty obvious.
Well, Minnesota sells beer. They had 18 incidents. And 6 of those 18 citations issued for underage consumption because everyone was celebrating the fraternity paddle spanking they gave Nebraska. Iowa, 12 arrests. Iowa, those numbers are low for public intoxication. Well, this does bump it a bit. You had one subject charged with public urination. That's some points.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what how many points you award for each incident.
Man, I've not been to Wisconsin. I've not been to Wisconsin.
Do you think?
I mean, they are legendarily horror awful with just getting plowed. They lead the conference in ejections and citations. And they try and scare your poor grandmother and grandfather if they travel for a road trip.
Do you think schools like Minnesota that sell it in the stadium? I know it's an ungodly price, but maybe people don't go as hard at the tailgate knowing they can buy beer in the stadium, so maybe that's why they aren't getting arrested as often.
No. This from Illinois, before we close the Big Ten police blotter report from 11 Warriors. Indiana also reported an incident prior to the September 29th game against Nebraska in which four males were gathered, transported to their vehicles, and advised not to return after selling shirts that said bitch ass in the Orange or the Grange Grove tailgate area. This is what has happened the last 3 years. You got Illinois guys feeling strong and selling awful t-shirts because it's a Friday night game and there's a chance that they could take Nebraska down for a second time in 3 years. Thank God that nightmare is over. We'll wind down to Tuesday with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, big thanks to Luke McCaffrey, Jay Moore, Mitch Sherman, Uncle Jerry tomorrow. Coach DiNardo going to be by. We'll have some other goodness for you. You miss any part of the show, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Be sure to follow the ESPN Lincoln Twitter or at HailVarsity for different blurbs of the show. Some of the audio highlights that Colton is tweeting out can log on to ESPN Lincoln to get some podcasts as well. I left out the most impressive and depressing number for the 11 Warriors alcohol report on the Big Ten. Nebraska number two in ejections and incidents behind Wisconsin. Told you 167 people ejected from Camp Randall. 74 Wisconsin students. 58 ejected for intoxication. 34 ejected for seating issues in their student section. That means four-letter words. 33 ejected for possession of alcohol, 30 ejected for tobacco. What? That's what they use for toothpaste. Sorry. Got my fan hat on for a second. Tobacco use? You're going to get launched in Wisconsin for tobacco use?
I think you can hear it, too.
Really?
I think so.
Really? 10 ejected for disorderly conduct, 2 ejected for... Hold on a minute. 10 ejected for disorderly conduct and 2 were ejected for the same thing. That's 12. A total of 50 of the 167 people ejected involved incidents at Wisconsin. They recorded a BAC of 0.20.
Ooh.
Mr. Blutarski. 50 of the 167 recorded a BAC of 0.20 or higher. Higher than their GPAs. That's insane.
That's wild.
It's trying to see angels.
I want to see if we can get our hands on one of those Illinois shirts.
That's hilarious. Oh. Well, there's some dude selling some sort of derogatory Oregon t-shirt a couple years ago. They beat the Ducks on the corner. And you see that stuff, too. You go to Denver games, some nasty Denver t-shirts. Especially if Kansas City's in town. Part of doing business. Good stuff tomorrow. Good stuff today. And appreciate you tuning in. Want to remind you about this summer. You got the Hail Varsity yearbook coming out, your college football Bible. That'll be ready for you in June. Also, just tremendous premium content with Mike Babcock, Derek Peterson, And, of course, Greg Smith and Jacob Padilla, Brandon Vogel, awesome folks who write and give just tremendous Nebraska coverage for you daily at HaleVarsity.com. 855-3-HUSKER or HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. Either way, can get the 10 issues and also the premium content on HaleVarsity.com. You can bundle it. You can subscribe for one price. It is incredible. You'll love it. You'll want it. You'll need it for Nebraska coverage this year. So check us out, HaleVarsity.com. Thanks to Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.